Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
While in some quarters there are sympathizers of, whether it be Islamic sympathizers or others, there is rejoicing today over the resignation of General Flynn. But on the other hand, there's also great sadness on the part of many who long for justice and what his input perhaps would have provided. How a man who violated a little-known law from 1799 called the Logan Act. You heard right, 1799, Logan Act. How somebody like that could be forced to resign is remarkable. But on the other hand, the real reason President Trump accepted General Flynn's resignation is something I think for which we can be thankful. We're going to talk a little bit about this other side of that story here in this first segment today. But for the main part of the program today, what Dave and I announced yesterday in the program we would discuss, we're going to talk about world relief, and I'm going to put into that world vision, and the world relief, particularly as a so-called voluntary association, how they've allegedly committed to helping refugees because of Christ's example, actually referring to the fact that they are pastors and leaders in this effort. The same organization, actually both of these, World Relief and World Vision, recently sent open letters to the President and Vice President Pence and identifying themselves as Bible believers and or pastors or Christian leaders, encouraging the President, actually condemning President Trump's order to limit would-be jihadists from entering the nation and limiting the importing of them more or less from these seven nations. We're going to examine their recent open letter and why a supposed Christian relief organization and so many religious leaders will cite Scripture as the basis for what they're doing, but cite it so wrongly. This is going to be the discussion of segments 2 and 2 to 4 today. And so I would ask you, call your or text your friends, listen to the program today, because we're going to deal with this matter of immigration. It is a hotly contested one across the country. Matter of fact, around the world, as people are looking at what and how we in the United States respond to this. So with that, I welcome you. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'll be joined today by David Kistler and Gary Dahl today. Well, man, I'm going to start here first. A controversy which started last week, actually on Friday, I think, of last week, culminated in the resignation of General Flynn last night. President Trump accepted his resignation. There's a front page story, and that is that he violated a law. But there's also a back story, which I'd want to examine relative to why the president accepted his resignation. Dave, let me go to you first here on this. On the surface, there are some people who are ebullient today about the fact that they smell blood in the water, they think, because they are taking some credit for forcing a Trump administration first casualty. Who, in your opinion, is gloating today because of General Flynn's resignation?
Well, Sam, I don't think there's any question, but what those that hate Trump, the never Trumpers, have got to be smiling right now, as well as the Islamists around the globe have got to be smiling as well, because General Flynn, for whatever he did with his comments to Vice President Pence, he was viewed as being a real hawk and being a threat to Islamist and Islamist terrorism around the globe. So I am sure those outside the United States that are of Muslim orientation, those within the United States, organizations like CARE, ISNA, and so on, those people are rejoicing, as well as those that just hate Donald Trump. They're gloating, I'm sure, beyond belief today.
I think they are, too. And there's enough out there to know that that's a true statement, Dave. But, you know, the real reason for this, as I stated earlier, was that theoretically or realistically, we'll have to put it in that context, Flynn's resignation was for the fact that he violated a little-known and a very old law called the Logan Act from 1799. That goes a way back. And in that law says that a private citizen cannot negotiate with a foreign power over matters of policy. Now, the issue was here that General Flynn actually had some discussion with the Russian ambassador during the window of time when President Trump had been elected by the people on November 8th, but prior to the fact that of his inauguration on January the 20th. So at that moment in time, General Flynn, who was not officially on board and the president, not officially the president sworn in, falls into this window. But Gary, I want to go back to that because I don't want to make light of the fact if a law has been broken, a law has been broken. But in reality, pulling up a very, very old law to attack somebody today, when in fact you had Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton flat out violating the Constitution regularly, feeling no shame and receiving no punishment for it, does seem to be a little hypocritical, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because, you know, they had no respect for the Constitution or for law itself. I mean, we talked about that many times on this particular program. You know, Sam, when you look at the Logan Act, I think that the key word there is the word unauthorized citizen. You know, it's a law that bars unauthorized citizens from negotiating with foreign governments. And, you know, the question is, really, was General Flynn an unauthorized citizen? Keep in mind that during the period of time that this could have taken place was during the transition period. And it could very, very well be that under the direction of the transition team that Donald Trump could have said to General Flynn, go ahead and talk to the ambassador and talk about these things. And he may have done that. And so, you see, there are those today, a lot of good people on both sides, who are saying that the issue is not that Flynn violated the Logan Act as much as the fact that he actually lied to Vice President Pence, which is the real issue here.
And Gary, so, and that's where I want to go, Gary, on this. I want to go back today because, Gary, you brought up a point, which is why there were many people in the administration who said, hey, look, this is not a big deal, and they could have pushed it, and I think perhaps won on that. But, Dave, this is the backstory. It was the fact of why the president actually accepted Flynn's resignation, and that had to do with the fact that he lied to Vice President Pence. What does that tell you?
Well, Sam, it says this, you know, that obviously Donald Trump ran as an outsider. He ran on this concept of draining the swamp in Washington, D.C. And how in the world could he have credibility with respect to that if he did not deal with and accept the resignation of Michael Flynn over this dishonesty with the vice president? So while Gary is 100% correct, I think Michael Flynn was an authorized individual and he was not technically in violation of the Logan Act of 1799. However, we're talking about integrity here, and for the president to maintain his integrity, which I believe he is greatly interested in doing, he had to accept the resignation of Flynn.
And Dave, that is my take as well. I think, ladies and gentlemen, that's the real backstory. I mean, it's unfortunate that General Flynn did not make this information fully known to Vice President Mike Pence. But Dave, I think you're spot on. A matter of integrity is at stake. And this administration says they're going to do things differently than the Barack Obama administration, which, frankly, I don't remember that anybody was even questioned about the fact that they were lying, at least not on their side of the equation. This is a big step forward, I think, and I think that's the real story here. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back after this break, we're going to jump right now into this matter of the letters sent by World Relief and World Vision to major, major refugee-oriented entities, well-known across the country, supported by many Christian people. Why did they send a letter to President Trump condemning him for his immigration policy? We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Tune in from 7 to 8 a.m. every Friday morning to hear Gary Porter, Executive Director of the Constitutional Leadership Initiative, Phil Duffy, Constitutional Law Instructor at Widener University, Pastor David Whitney, Senior Instructor at the Institute on the Constitution, and their guests every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. as they explore and help us understand the Constitution, not only as our foundational document, but also as it relates to our lives today. Right here on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, just a few days ago, World Relief, a so-called voluntary agency, released an open letter to President Trump and Vice President Pence, citing biblical grounds for opposing the president's recent executive order imposing a pause on immigration from 7 predominantly Muslim, failed, or hostile states, and was signed by over 500 clergy. And they published this letter in the Washington Post claiming that they were speaking on behalf of pastors and leaders. And I'm going to read you just a little bit of the first part of this letter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that when we go into this right now in this section, we are not trying to condemn people for what they do. We're trying to talk about policies and statements and issues that are relating or do relate to matters of what we're finding on the news. Again, Stand in the Gap Today comes at the issues of the day from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Immigration is clearly a constitutional issue, but as people continue to weigh in, many of them pastors and leaders, they are bringing in the moral component, and as in this case of World Relief and World Vision, and I'm not going to read the World Vision letter, I'm just going to read the part from World Relief, you will find that they're calling in and using Scripture to support the position, so we have to deal with it, and we're going to try and deal with it biblically and constitutionally on this program here today. Now, let me read just the first little bit of the letter from World Relief that went to the President Trump and Vice President Pence. They stated this, quote, as Christian pastors and leaders, We are deeply concerned by the recently announced moratorium on refugee resettlement. Our care for the oppressed and the suffering is rooted in the call of Jesus to, quote, love our neighbor as we love ourselves, end quote. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10:25-37, Jesus makes it clear that our neighbor includes the stranger and anyone fleeing persecution and violence, regardless of their faith or their country, end quote. Gary, I want to go to you first, just very briefly, in a few short words. What is correct about what World Relief wrote in this paragraph, and perhaps what raises a red flag to you, at least, by what they said?
Well, first of all, do you want me to parse the whole thing?
Because
in answering your question, I'm not sure what is correct about it.
Okay.
Simply because of the fact that, you know, they may be Christian pastors and leaders. Perhaps they're correct with that. I know some of them who signed that. I know we didn't sign that, and I think we want to make that clear. So they may have been Christian pastors and leaders. The other thing is, and I think we're going to talk about this during the next segment, I think that they have completely misinterpreted and misunderstand the whole situation of the Good Samaritan. I think they completely misunderstand that. So, you know, and I know we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But if there is anything true here to what they stated, it's that as Christians, we should reach out for those who are the poor and the needy. No one would deny that. We should do that. We must do that. James chapter 2 tells us that we are to do that. But we are also to do it in a responsible fashion. And when we are talking about the idea of refugees, if we are going to do this in a responsible fashion, every preacher, every Christian leader would want those refugees properly vetted, so that if they came into our nation, they would come in to our nation as strangers to assimilate themselves into the principles of our country, rather than those who would come into this nation who would try to destroy it or harm it because they hate us.
Okay, so Gary, now Okay, I'm just going to have a hold it right there, just trying to get in this in the segment here. You've laid out the basis for it. You've said you've called a distinction there, and that's the question you raised. Let me go back and add in something to this before I go to Dave. Dave, it's very interesting, Dave and Gary, it's very interesting that World Relief is making the point that the man in the ditch and the Good Samaritan's actions toward him are the same as should be our national response to refugees, and they cite the fact that the immigrant and the refugee, they say, are the same, and we should have the same response. Government should, we all should. They go and they state this, quote, as Christians, we have an historic call expressed over 2,000 years to serve the suffering. We cannot abandon this call now. This executive order dramatically reduces the overall number of refugees allowed this year, robbing families of hope and a future, end quote. Dave. So question to you. This statement sounds very pious and heartfelt, and if this was all we knew, would you have much trouble with it beyond what Gary just raised?
Sam, I would have a little bit of trouble with it on one level, and it goes back to the prior statement in their letter, and it has to do with welcoming anyone fleeing from persecution and violence, regardless of their, and the word they chose to use was the word faith. Now, I'm sure they're including in that the Islamic faith, but we know that the Islamic faith is not just it doesn't just have a faith component. It has a legal, jurisdictional component. It has a political component. All of that is wrapped up in Islam and Sharia law. So yes, I would have a problem there because it sounds like they are treating Islam as if it is like every other religion when it is not. However, the point you're making, I think, is probably a very good one. It sounds compassionate. It sounds like they care about the suffering, which we should. But Sam, here's the problem. We know that behind all of this has been hundreds of millions of dollars these people have taken from the federal government to bring these refugees in. That changes the whole discussion of this topic.
Well, it does. And I was going to go. I want to come back and ask you and Gary here if we have time about this, because here is a fact. This is a fact, ladies and gentlemen, that is not out there yet. Now, we're trying to put it out because it's a very, very key thing. It's a fact that, as proven by the 990 filing, which is a filing a nonprofit needs to file, which is what World Relief does and World Vision does and others, in that filing, which is open to the public, you can get it, it indicates that World Relief were given $225 million from the U.S. federal government during the 8 years of Barack Obama's resettlement years. $225 million. And I'm going to put into this that World Vision took over $800 million. The two of these entities have common people connecting them on their leadership team. And when they signed the various letters, they had same people on both letters, at least not all of them, but in many of the same ones. So together, they took over $1 billion. Now, other documents I have, men, shows me that this organization also received funding from George Soros, who was taking money from, working with Barack Obama and the European globalist to encourage Middle East Muslims to resettle in Europe and the United States. Now, that being the case, when that is known, and that the bulk, I think it was about 90% of their income, these two entities, actually was going to refugee resettlement in this country over the last 8 years, over $1 billion. If that's the case, Gary, I want to go to you first. Does that raise any question to you about how we should perceive the stated purposes and the goals of what they are saying about refugees? I mean, does that in any way perhaps cloud the veracity perhaps of what's being said?
Well, certainly it clouds it because of who's actually involved with it. I mean, anything that George Soros does, and we know that he's been a backer of Barack Obama for many, many years, but anything that George Soros does is something that we should certainly question. And, you know, when it comes to what World Relief is doing and World Vision, I want to go out on the limb here just a little bit and say that I would find it very hard, and I know I'm going to get into trouble for saying this, but I would find it very, very hard, Sam, to call World Relief and World Vision absolute Christian entities and ministries, simply because of the fact that some of the things that they do have not been completely biblically sound, and they've aligned themselves down through the years with people who aren't biblically sound, include George Soros. And so I think that what's happening here is that many people are saying, well, look, World Relief is doing this and World Vision is doing that. Look at the good Christian work that they're doing. Well, compare it to what the Word of God says. You will find that they probably are not good, solid Christian organizations, nor are they doing good, solid Christian ministry.
Gary, I'm not sure you went too far out on the limb there, but that was a bold statement. Dave, let me go back to you on that and say, isn't this part of the problem that we're having in America today when we have so many people who stand up and saying, I am a Christian, I'm following the Bible, and in this case here, we're pastors and leaders. Dave, what does it take to actually make a pastor or a Christian leader a verifiable or a credible spokesperson? Is it just by saying I'm a Christian? I mean, how do we know, and how can people who are listening help to weigh through this and understand these things?
Well, Sam, the word Christian means Christ-like, and Jesus said it himself. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So those that are going to be verifiable Christians and those that God approves of are those that follow the commandments of God. In other words, they walk in the truth. The tragedy is these folks with World Relief, World Vision, the Soros organization, Sam, calls pastors that they get to sign on with them rent an evangelical. That's the phrase that is used there by the Soros people. Hmm. We're renting evangelicals. We're paying the money to get on board with us so that it lends credibility to what we're doing, while sinisterly they're trying to bring these people into the country for the overthrow of America. Sam, this is the consummate tragedy.
Dave, I think it is a consummate tragedy. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, 80% of those in the country, in our nation, say they're Christians, but are they really? Saying you're a Christian is far different than having a relationship with Jesus Christ and obeying what the Word of God says. And that's the issue we come down to, I believe, here in this matter. Now, when we come back after this, we're going to talk about what Faith Leaders for America is doing to actually get pastors out there and actually sending a letter to the president supporting what he is doing. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the real definition of strangers and immigrants from a biblical perspective. This will be tremendous teaching and instruction. I hope that you'll stay tuned for it as we get into it in just another minute or two.
baby shining forth. We are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump sitting down with Education Secretary Betsy DeVos and a group of parents and teachers at the White House.
I want every single disadvantaged child in America, no matter what their background or where they live, to have a choice about where they go to school.
The president needs a new national security advisor, with Michael Flynn resigning over revelations he discussed economic sanctions with the Russian ambassador before the inauguration.
Kellyanne Conway is a counselor to the president.
He either forgot, you know, couldn't fully recall, or outwardly misled the vice president and others.
Conway said yesterday the president had full confidence in Flynn, but that changed amid new reports the White House was warned by the Justice Department that Flynn could be vulnerable to blackmail by Russia.
Fox's John Decker at the White House on Wall Street. Midday, the Dow is up 20 points. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Quote from Mark Twain, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi. Your Family Matters brings a biblical perspective to your child rearing. Author and radio personality Carla DeDessi challenges you to think critically about raising your children with a biblical perspective. You will learn techniques for strengthening and protecting your family. Using truth, love, and wisdom, she encourages purposeful parenting to fortify your family. Together, we can and will strengthen our families with things that matter. Carla is a conservative voice who loves God, her family, and America. Follow Carla at CarlaDeDessi.com.
Hi, this is Carla DeDessi, the host of Your Family Matters. I do hope that you join me every Friday morning at 8 o'clock as we discuss Your Family Matters, right here at 1180 WFYL.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue trying to delineate here and make clear a real struggle that's taking place in, and I would say through many who call themselves Christians in this country, as evidenced by a recent letter by World Relief, which we talked about in this last segment, and World Vision that sent a nearly identical letter to the president condemning him for limiting immigration. Particularly from these seven primarily predominantly Muslim nations, they have attempted to, and they're trying to build a list of pastors and Christian leaders to join with them to demonstrate that they are really speaking for the pastors of this country. Well, fortunately, there are many pastors who do not believe that they are speaking for them. Faith Leaders for America is an entity of which Dave and Gary and I are a part. A letter in coming out of this group is going to the president, will be hand-delivered in very, very short period of time. Let me read from you just a little bit of the first paragraph of this, and then we're going to get into discussing the real root difference, the differences here on the understanding of stranger and why there's a difference between what some say the Bible says and what others, like ourselves, who believe in the authority of Scripture, believe that it says. Now, here's the first paragraph of this letter. Dear President Trump and Vice President Pence, we write on behalf of the millions of Americans, clergy and lay citizens alike, who deeply appreciate your leadership in working to make our country safe again. In particular, as faith leaders, we want to thank you for following a discerning and biblical approach to the wise welcome of foreigners, including refugees. your commitment to border security, and your determination to end the magnet for illegal immigration represented by so-called sanctuary cities. All of these initiatives have firm foundations in biblical instruction. Unfortunately, there are some who cite the Bible selectively to suggest that such policies are contrary to America's faith traditions. And then I'm going to stop right there, because we're going to talk about the necessity of considering the whole counsel of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, there not everybody is out there saying the same thing. And on this program, we try to focus on the authority of Scripture and bring it to bear on the issues of the day. This thing we're talking about here is being observed around the world. And we're sharing this with you so you can get a sense of what's taking place and hopefully make a decision to come down on the side of the Word of God. There are two biblical principles at stake in these letters that were written, and we're going to talk about here next, the next segment, this one and the next one. And that is where the religious leaders supporting World Relief and others, where they get the support of their position to bringing in any immigrant, classifying the stranger, the refugees, the same person as the man in a ditch with the Good Samaritan, and what Gary referred to at the beginning of the program. Now, there's another part of it, talking about the role of government and the role of the church. And we're not going to be able to get into that too much right now, but I'd like to deal with that matter of the issue of the stranger. And Gary was saying that there was a difference, and he made it very clear at the beginning. Gary, I want to go to you here first of all. There is a verse in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:34, that says to Israel, bring in the stranger. Love them, make them a part of who and what you are, because remember, you were a stranger in Egypt. And that is often a verse that's referred to often by a lot of these folks. Could you explain that a little bit, where that comes from in Hebrew, and is there more to that word stranger there than meets the eye for many people?
Well, yeah, let me just back up a little bit, though, Sam, and say, you talked about the church and the government. First of all, keep in mind that the government does not have the responsibility to take care of the poor. That's not given in the Scripture. The government has the responsibility to stand for that which is good and stand against that which is evil. It's the church that has the responsibility to take care of the poor. Actually, it's in the church that the whole concept of aid and social aid should be dealt with, but that's another story altogether. But what concerns me, Sam, is the way that this particular letter from World Relief just messes things up in misinterpreting Scripture. You know, they say this as they relate to the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus makes it clear that our neighbor includes the stranger and anyone fleeing persecution and violence regardless of their faith or country. Jesus does not make that clear in that passage of Scripture. Hmm. Number one, when you read down through the Luke passage, you know, where the Good Samaritan is spoken of, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, the word stranger is not mentioned in there anywhere. The word neighbor is mentioned in there, but not the word stranger. And when you read down through there, if you want to take it literally and actually look at the strive for accuracy, which we do here at APN, you'll note that the neighbor in the parable is not the man in the ditch, but the Good Samaritan who helped the man in the ditch. Hmm. And I think that that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is portraying here. But then take a look at the word neighbor, Sam. The word in the New Testament, there are three Greek words for neighbor. And this is significant, I think. There's the Greek word gaiton, which means one living in the same land. There's another word, perioikos, which means one who dwells around us. And then there's another word, plesion, which means one who is near. That is the word neighbor that's mentioned three times in this particular text of Luke chapter 10. And so what we find here is what I said in the first segment, that World Relief, I believe, has completely misinterpreted what the story of the Good Samaritan is all about. It has nothing to do with taking care of the refugee, has nothing to do with taking care even of the stranger that's coming into the land, particularly as Leviticus 19 and some of the other passages we talk about. This is talking about taking care of those who are around us who are in need. Their interpretation of this completely disqualifies the biblical foundation for which they are trying to build their whole concept upon.
Gary, that's absolutely wonderful explanation there and what you're talking about. And that's something that doesn't happen very often is the examination of Scripture in its totality. You can't just lift out one verse. Dave, let me go and have you go back now to the Old Testament there because there are a couple of different words that are used, actually three at least, different words for strangers in the Old Testament. The one in Ezekiel, Leviticus 19:34 says stranger in Egypt, and I've got a, you know, we're to, you know, welcome them in because you were there too. But there's more to it that meets the eye there. Explain that to us, please.
Well, Sam, I'd be glad to try to do that. I don't want to make this technical, but one of the words for stranger in the Old Testament is the word ger. There's one that we would pronounce zer. And then there is a third word that I'll not even mention at this point. I'm just going to deal with the first two. When we're talking about the Leviticus 19:34 passage, the word stranger there means someone that is coming into your country to assimilate into the Jewish way of life. In fact, a great illustration would be the book of Ruth, where if you'll remember, and Sam, I think maybe even you referred to this yesterday, where Ruth said to Naomi, whither thou goest, I will go, whither you lodge, I will lodge. Your people are going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God. Of course, Naomi, the mother-in-law, was a Jew. Ruth was a Moabitess. When her husband died, Naomi's son died, Ruth's husband, she said, I'm going to stay with you, and I'm going to convert to your way of life and to your faith. And that is a stranger. That's one of the words that's used, and the one in Leviticus is that word. They're coming in to become part of the Jewish people. The other word, zer, is a stranger of a totally different type. In fact, that is the word that is used all throughout Proverbs to describe the strange woman, the harlot woman, the one that you should have nothing to do with because she is not going to adopt your faith. She is out there totally devoid of God and his word and his truth and not seeking to walk in his ways. So that word would apply, Sam, to those that I believe World Relief and World Vision are wanting to welcome in that are coming here not to adopt the American way of life, but coming in totally opposed to our way of life. They're coming in with a Sharia mindset. And Sam, it is incredibly dangerous. I would even go so far as to say it is unbiblical to accept those people in.
And Dave, you've made that very clear. There are some who come wanting to assimilate. In the passage you talked about, that the word ger, in that section, when they come, they had to, Ezekiel 20, verse 10, they had to observe the Sabbath. Exodus 12:48, they had to keep the Passover. They were there saying, we want to be a part. And when they are, then in other many passages, Israel was told not to impress them. Don't vex them. They're equal in but they were equal in responsibility to the law of the land. They received full benefits, but only after they became a part. And Dave, the other, what you're talking about, that word zer, that really means those who never intend to come in with the intent. They are enemies of God. They will not assimilate. And for them, if they did not do what God said, they were to be disciplined. And actually, they were not allowed to worship because they didn't want to worship in the temple. They didn't want to worship there. And if they actually stepped onto the premises of what the priests were supposed to be doing, they were told to be killed. So the point here, there are two classes, there are at least two classes of strangers. Unlike what is being said by these organizations that refugees are the same as the neighbor, the Good Samaritan, not at all. Gary made that clear. Neighbor is not the same thing. And there are two classes, at least, of stranger. Those who do want to become a part and those who do not. Now, when we get in the next segment, we're going to talk about another kind of stranger and what actually Israel did not do, and they suffered a great deal because they did not differentiate between these two categories of strangers. So stay with us. We're going to be right back after this next break, and we're going to continue as we conclude on this matter of the refugee, the immigrant, and the stranger.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
In the 3rd century, Emperor Claudius the Goth not only commanded the Roman gods to be worshipped, but temporarily forbade marriage because he believed single men made better soldiers. Valentine, who was a bishop in Italy, risked the emperor's wrath by refusing to worship idols and for secretly marrying young couples. St. Valentine was dragged before the prefect in Rome, who condemned him to be beaten to death with clubs and have his head cut off on February 14, 269 AD. While awaiting execution, it is said he prayed for the jailer's sick daughter, who miraculously recovered. He wrote her a note and signed it, "From your Valentine."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
I'm Joanna Craney with M Wealth Advisors and 1847 Financial, and this is my daughter, Lily. Lily, let's send Happy Valentine's Day greetings to everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day. Tell everybody you know you love them. A big shout out to Bluebell Elementary, 4SH. Thank you for all your support.
Great idea, Lily. Think about the things you love about those close to you and tell them what you love about them.
I love you, Mom, because you are an inspiration to me, and when I'm feeling down, you always cheer me up.
I love you too, Lily.
God loves people because He made them. The Bible says, "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love."
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Now, as we continue, as we wrap up really now our discussion here on the matter of the immigrant and the neighbor, I want to pick up on one thing that Dave said. Dave, you commented that there were two different designations. One is ger, G-E-R, Hebrew word for stranger. That means that stranger who says, I want to become a Jew. I want to become a part of the nation. I want to do what's a part of the land like Ruth. Then you said there was another word, zer, that you would pronounce it like that. That really means the opposite. It's a stranger who comes in with not good intentions, not wanting to assimilate. I want to read one passage, ladies and gentlemen, just listen to this one verse. It's on Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 7. And in this passage, God is speaking through Isaiah to the people of Israel and saying, you have really sinned. You have done wrongly. Alas, you're a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Things were not done right because they did not follow God's word. And he says in verse 7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire, and strangers devour your land in your very presence. It has become desolate, as overthrown by strangers. That word is the word zur. The stranger that did not want to assimilate, did not want to become part, actually became a part of God's judgment, because the nation that did not recognize the difference between those who wanted to come and worship God and point them to God of heaven, but either ignored them or turned them away to someone other than the God of heaven, actually those strangers, those enemies, were not perceived by many, and they actually end up setting fire to their cities, destroying their property, destroying their land. Boy, does that sound like a lot today. Dave, I just want to just see if you have any comment on that before we go into the third definition of this word. But doesn't that sound a lot like today? Will you read that verse?
Sam, it sounds stunningly like what's going on today. And Sam, one of the troubling things to me, and I just need to bring this up very, very quickly before we go to this final definition or this final third word that's translated stranger in our English Bible. It is amazing to me that these two organizations, World Relief and World Vision, have gotten so much behind the allowance of Muslim refugees into this country. But Sam, during the time when millions, I'm talking millions of Christians were being massacred by ISIS in Iraq and in Syria, these two organizations, World Relief and World Vision, were strangely silent, Sam. They did not crusade for the bringing of Christians who were legitimately, genuinely being persecuted into America, but now they are crusading for the bringing of primarily, sometimes almost exclusively, the Muslims into our country. Sam, I think that in and of itself speaks volumes.
Dave, it does, and I think the numbers that we have heard before of those that the Barack Obama brought in during 8 years, which would have been resettled by these organizations and Catholic Charities would be another one. These have kind of worked together on this. I think 9%, less than 9% of any of those brought in were actually those who were Christians being persecuted, just the opposite. So, Dave, I think you make a very, very, very compelling point there. Ladies and gentlemen, though, there is one other verse in the same book of Isaiah, chapter 56, and verses 3 through 7. I'm not going to read all of that, but God is now offering hope here. And he says in verse 6, also the sons of the foreigner, those who came were foreigners and assimilated, those sons of the foreigner, and it's the stranger in this case, and they say, and God says, if they do these things, or basically since they did these things, as proof that they were assimilating, he said, who join themselves to the Lord, one, number one, two, agree to serve him, three, to love the name of the Lord, next, to be his servants, next, to keep the Sabbath, and last, holding fast to my covenant. God says, this foreigner who comes in and assimilates, this word is nakar. It's a different word. It's a really promised word to the stranger, because God is saying in here, if you come in and want to be my child and basically worship me, God says, I will make for you and give you a privileged position. You will be a son of the covenant of Israel, even though you weren't born there. You come as a foreigner. And Gary, I want to go to you on that, because when I read that, and I actually did read that this morning in my studies, I'm looking, man, I didn't notice that before, but it sure does sound to me like the whole story of redemption, doesn't it? And ultimately, at the end of the day, isn't that what we, when we reach out to with the strangers and to help the poor and the needy, aren't we to point them to God? Isn't that the real purpose?
Yeah, Sam, and that's very interesting that you bring that up, because, you know, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament that before we are saved, before we come to Christ, we are aliens and separated from God and his covenants and his promises. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then we are united to him And in reality, that's what you see here in Isaiah chapter 56, verses 6 and 7. That phrase, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, is really exceptional as it relates to the picture of redemption. But we need to keep in mind, and trying to put this together in my mind as I was thinking, you know, the stranger who is Zur, as we've been talking about here, is the one who could not partake of the sacrifices, is the one who was to stay away from the tabernacle even when it was being moved, lest they die. And what I think that we need today, Sam and Dave, is to have people in government and people in the church who understand what the Word of God says from the proper hermeneutic. Because, you see, you can take Scripture out of context and get it to prove anything that you want it to prove. And I think that's what World Vision and these others are doing. We need to be alerted to the fact that if we are going to build some kind of a principle on biblical truth, that we allow the Word of God, that we interpret the Word of God according to biblical truth. Unfortunately, that's not being done so much these days, both in churches and in government.
Dave, I want to go to you here in the last remaining minutes, and it picks up on what Gary said and what I referred to. There is a purpose here. In other words, what is the command to care for our neighbor, to welcome in that refugee who wants to assimilate? Is the purpose just to be nice? I mean, are we earning points in heaven by being good? Or is there a much greater purpose, and that is to ultimately, after saying here, point that person to Jesus Christ?
Sam, I think the principle that is coming through in my ears and in my heart today, loud and clear from these passages we've looked at in the Old Testament, the whole purpose for bringing in the stranger that legitimately wanted to be there, that is not coming in with sinister, nefarious motivations, the whole purpose for accepting them was to point them to God. And I don't want anybody to think that we are saying we should not welcome in those that are fleeing genuine persecution and want to get away from that. They're willing to come to America, become part of this culture, assimilate into it. We don't want to turn any of those people away. But the Old Testament principle with respect to that is clear. What we're talking about are those that are the Zur type, those that are coming for very nefarious, sinister, ungodly, evil intentions, like the strange woman, the harlot woman, who has very evil intentions. Those were to be rejected. They were not to be embraced and welcomed. And it's those kind of quote-unquote strangers that we're talking about we should be very careful about accepting.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you picked up a lot of what on this program. We're not saying that every immigrant needs to say, I am going to be a Christian. We've never said that in this country. And that's not what happens here. But they can't have someone come in and saying, I'm going to oppose your God, I'm going to disobey your laws, and I'm going to subvert your country. That is a different matter. That's not a stranger to be welcome. Well, we thank you for listening today to Stand in the Gap today. And I encourage you to go to our website, standinthegapradio.com. Pick up this program in archive form. Send it on to others. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, stand in the gap for truth.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM.